Blog Talk Radio.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this
show the moon.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The song ends, I gotta tell everybody. Yes, the song ends with that. I gotta tell everybody. What does she have to tell? Glory, glory, my Redeemer lives. Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, my Redeemer lives. And I got to tell everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're here this Sunday on Blog Talk Radio, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, your host, with another Bible mystery. God bless you. Hallelujah. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can call us at 516-418-5944 and you press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hopefully we don't get to turn off earlier. Our on-the-air streamline timer is running way ahead of the time that we're on the air. And I know that's going to be taken care of by the Blog Talk Radio technicians. But I want to give you a disclaimer before we go on, and that is the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to Pastor Carlos A. Ramos. They do not belong to The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, your host. And they do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sang songs or produced it. And because we got the original CDs and DVDs in their writings, gives us permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. So today's song was My Redeemer Lives by Nicole. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. My Redeemer lives. He gave his body up as a sacrifice. He died on the cross and shed his blood. He was buried, but he resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. That is the gospel. We can't preach nothing else but the gospel. That's the foundation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's mystery is beautiful. It's easy. And I'm praying that one will call me here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. With the correct answer, glory be to the Lord. If you do, you'll receive a beautiful free prize from the church, an accordion-style type colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that points to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. These are things that we want to put into our Bible. So when we are somewhere and we're waiting and we wasting time, so to speak, we could take this out from our Bible and look it up and look at the scriptures that it points to it and learn what the tabernacle is all about. That's the Old Testament tabernacle. It was also called the Tent of Meetings. It was portable. Glory be to God, unto Solomon built the temple. Herod enhanced it somewhat, you know. But when Jesus came to the earth and he began to build his kingdom, and the word of God tells us, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's the same thing that we analyze here in this booklet, pamphlet, I mean, is what's within us. The Holy Spirit within us. We've been born again, according to John 3:3-5. And then we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been saved. The Father has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are now part of the heavenly family. Glory be to God. And we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of promise. Glory be to the Lord. So this pamphlet gives you a lot to look over. It talks about the tabernacle, and it gives you all these scriptures and all these colorful things that you could look at in relationship to the tabernacle. And what's holding back the Jewish people from building the third temple in Jerusalem? And that is, they're waiting for the Messiah to come, because only the Messiah could build the temple. And we know that the Antichrist is going to make a peaceful pact with Israel and with the nations there, and they're going to build the third temple. They're going to begin to offer sacrifices, and the Jewish people are going to be deceived. They're going to receive this person as the true Messiah. Right now, they're waiting for Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David. But when this Messiah, this Antichrist, comes on the scene and promotes himself as he's God by sitting into the temple and by bringing in the abomination of desolation, as Daniel preached, he brings a pig, he brings the image into the temple, and the Bible says in Revelation 13, he forces everyone to take the mark of the beast. Now, in the Greek, it comes out to 666, but we're not sure exactly what the mark of the beast is. It's going to be in the right hand, right forehand there, or on the forehead. Glory be to the Lord. But you know what? In Revelation, it also says they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So we, brothers and sisters, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he washes us with that precious blood. The Father washes us from all our sins and iniquities. He looks at us as righteous now. And that gives us the ability, the right, the legal right to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Glory be to the Lord. All those that reject Jesus Christ, all those that do not accept the gospel, you know, they're condemning themselves, because the Bible says in the Gospel of John, God did not send his son to condemn the world. And they that believe in him are not condemned, but they that believe not are condemned already, because the deeds are evil. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today's Bible mystery, we're going to put it out there, and hopefully somebody will call us and with the correct answer. And this is geared towards a lot of people who read the King James Version. I mean, if you have a different version and you call me and give me the right answer, I'm going to accept it, because it means that your version is correctly formulated. Glory be to God. But there are some Bibles out there that some people take away from the Word of God, and some people add, and they have a lot of problem come the day of judgment. Glory be to the Lord. So the mystery for today is, what is it? Which verse of the Bible represents the middle of the Bible? Which verse of the Bible represents the middle of the Bible? Now, the way to get the answer, so to speak, is to know how many chapters you have in your Bible, how many verses you have in your Bible. If you know that, then you can figure out the answer, and we'll read the answer out loud, that you may know. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Which verse represents the middle of the Bible? Glory. You know, the Word of God tells us to trust in the God, to trust in the Lord. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. He will direct our path. That's from Proverbs, you know? So the first thing we have to remember is trust the Lord. When we trust him and we study his Bible, his word, that what we have here on earth is a carbon copy of the original one that's in heaven. Do you know that there's libraries in heaven? There are books in heaven? Oh, my goodness. That's a different study altogether. But I want to share with you, my brothers and sisters, that the writers of the Bible were like Moses, like patriarchs, like the prophets, like the disciples. What they wrote down was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not of any private interpretation. The Bible, like Isaiah says, is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And we have to understand that the Bible identifies itself as the word of the Lord. If you look at Revelation chapter 20, it says that these words, these sayings are faithful and true. My goodness, how can we come against a God whose word is faithful and true? And how do we know that? Because when he said it, it came to pass. He himself put a limitation in Deuteronomy. He says the prophet that comes and speaks the word in behalf of God, and that word does not come to pass, then that's a false prophet. But the prophet that is sent from God, that word that he speaks will be fulfilled. And God himself has said many things through the prophets, and it has been fulfilled. So we know that the word is faithful and the word is true. So we trust God in everything that we have. We trust him when we get up in the morning. We trust him when we lay down at night. You know, when you wake up in the morning, before you put your feet on the ground, you should be praying and thanking God that it's another day that he allow your spirit, your soul to be in this body. Because the word of God tells us tomorrow is not promised to no one. Is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So, you know, when you wake up in the morning time, or whenever the Lord wakes you up like that, you want to be in a prayerful mood. Now, Jesus gave us a clue. He gave us a key, and I'm just going to share something that you have to understand and study. And that is, remember when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. He went on to say, when you pray, say this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now we know it ends with those three things, kingdom, power, and glory. If you study your scriptures correctly, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist spoke about the kingdom. And he, you know, when he was challenged as to his word, he says, look, I'm bringing forth a kingdom, not of this world. You know, when Pontius Pilate spoke to him, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. All my people would have fought for me, but my kingdom is not of this world. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. The ways that we do things in the kingdom of heaven is not the way that the kingdom of this earth, or the kingdom of Satan, operates in. If somebody smacks us on one cheek, we turn the other cheek. When somebody does us wrong, we don't vengeance upon them. No, we pray for them. We forgive them. Jesus said, by this man would know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants, that's part of the kingdom of heaven, is the ripe fruit. Remember when they asked Jesus, he said, by the fruit you shall know them. Well, what is the first fruit mentioned in Galatians? What's the first fruit mentioned in the Gospels? What's the first fruit mentioned in the letters? The first fruit is always love, because God is love. And when he put love in you, then you're able to share that with others. And Christ had compassion. He had mercy and he loved the people. He didn't want them to be lost. As a matter of fact, the word of God tells us that the patience of God is because he don't want none to perish, but the all to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. He don't want none to perish. He doesn't send nobody to hell. All that God does in the great white throne, in the day of judgment, is accommodate people's wishes. When you are a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, you go into the Bema Seat judgment. There you will receive rewards. And in heaven, we're going to have this Seder meal with Christ. We're going to have the wedding feast of Jesus. And we're going to be together with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and all the way down from 13 to 18, it tells us that, you know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. You know, he don't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be, to understand his word. He wants us to understand what's going on. Those who have died, those who are asleep now in Christ Jesus, to be absent from this body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. So paradise at one time was in the underworld, but when Christ went to there, when he resurrected, he brought paradise to heaven, and glory be to the Lord. And that's where people go to in paradise before God when we go to heaven, when we leave this earthly body. He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. Those who have gone before us, he's going to bring them with him, the Bible says. God will bring them. He's going to bring their spirit. And then when the resurrection takes place, those that have gone before us will be resurrected, and their bodies will be changed to a glorified body. Then the word of God says, we that remain shall be caught up, harpazo, raptured up together with them in the air to meet Christ in the clouds. We're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. We're going to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. Christ right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I every day. And he's going to come because he promised in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself, so where I am, you may be also. So you see, he's going to take us to the Father's house. Why? If you understand the Galilean marriage, the bridegroom takes his wife to the Father's house. Why? Because he built the room there. He extended the house. And that's what Christ has done. He has extended the kingdom, the house of God, to us. And we are obedient unto the word of God. We are obedient to the Holy Spirit, because the word of God says, unless the Holy Spirit draws you, you cannot be saved. So we have to be obedient, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, you know, we have to put away those things that easily beset us. You know, when the Lord saved you, you became a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So don't say you were born a Christian, but you're still drinking. Something is amiss there. Don't say you're born again Christian and you're still smoking. Something is amiss there. Those things should have already passed. Those things should have been taken care of when Christ saved you. Because Christ gives you a new heart, a new desire. He renews your spirit. your desires and your wants are now are for the kingdom of heaven. It's not for the things of the earth, not to satisfy this flesh, because we know, like Eve being tempted three times with the different subjects, the eye, the wisdom, and the hunger. We read that in the book of Ephesians, I believe, yes. There's three things against us, the flesh, the world, and Satan himself. We have to be on guard. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that we have to guard our heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. We have to guard our heart. Don't let the enemy come in and plant a seed that is not of God. So you have to be very careful. That's why, you know, when someone speaks, when somebody teaches or preaches or somebody brings forth a word, it's something that the Lord given to me, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I have to check it out. Jesus himself said, test the spirit by the spirit. The word of God is alive. The word of God is a spirit. So when people say things, I have to look it up, make sure that is in agreement with the word of God. And if it's not, then what I do is I toss it to the garbage, because it's not something that's going to edify. You know, the word of God says God gave some apostles, some evangelists, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers for the edifying, for the growth of the church, for individual, you know, so we could become not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but to become mature in the things of God. Mature doesn't mean like some people think maturity in the flesh, like, you know, they see your gray hair, they think you're mature. No, maturity means knowing the things of God, knowing the will of God, doing the will of God. And that's from trust. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio this Sunday with the Bible Mystery. You could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here at Blog Talk Radio. And the phone number is 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. And if you have a testimony, a question, or a comment, or the answer to the question, we will stop everything we're doing and address that concern. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the mystery for today is, which verse represents the middle of the Bible? Once again, this is more easier if you have the King James Version. But if you have a different version, you still could call in. And if you give me the answer and it's the correct answer, you still will get the bulletin, the pamphlet that we have here is accordion style colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. Talks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice of in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little itinerary so you would understand if you don't have the card, but if you write it down, then you would know. We are here every Sunday at 6 p.m. Lord willing, if it's the Lord's will, we are here every Sunday unless an emergency happens. But we're here every Sunday at 6 p.m. with a Bible mystery and with a gift as well. On Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're here with intercessory prayer. And then on Thursdays, we're here at 6 p.m. for Bible study. We are looking over a subtopic called What's Next? And it's very interesting because we are studying in the Church of Revelation, and we have a list of things that we're going to look up, and the list is similar to the list that we have here on What's Next. We believe the next event to occur which have no signs before it. But you have to be ready every day because you never know when it's going to happen. We have a belief in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Like we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 or 18, he ends with that saying, comfort one another with these words. When we read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, it says, the church was not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that the seven-year tribulation begins as the wrath of God, and we were not appointed for that. So that means that the church will be taken out of here. Christ will return in the clouds, in the air, to receive his church. And this is where some people get confused with the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, as described in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus comes to Mount Olivet. He puts his feet there on Mount Olivet. But when he comes for his church, when the rapture takes place, he comes in the air. He calls his church up. He calls his bride up. So we have to be like a bride with our garments on, without a spot or wrinkle. We have to live holy and righteous. God is looking for a pure heart and clean hands. Glory be to the Lord. Now you might say, but wait a minute, Pastor Ramos, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And I will say, I agree with you. It's not in the Bible. The same thing like the word Bible is not in the Bible. There's a lot of words. Trinity is not in the Bible. However, what I want to share with you is that in the Latin version, when Augustine Jerome wrote the Bible in the Latin version for the Catholic Church, the word was rapimo. So rapimo is the Latin word for the English translation of rapture. And what it means, moving from one place to another. A forced movement from one place to another. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We understand that the Reformation had taken place. Martin Luther had nailed his theses, 95-page theses, to the church doors. Why? Because the church, the Roman Catholic or the Roman Universal Church, was calling for this parishioners to sell indolence, chains with images and whatever. And I know because I went to the Catholic Church as a young child, and we used to have that around our neck, and we used to have to do something about it. But Martin Luther wrote his theses, and he quoted from Obadiah, the righteous shall live by faith. And so the Reformation started, the Protestant movement started. So what happened, the Catholic Church wrote out a new Bible called the Bishop's Bible or the Family Bible. And instead of rapismo, they used the word rebellion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, don't let no man deceive you, for the day of the Lord will not come unless there's, in the King James Version, it says fallen away. In the Catholic Bishop Bible, it says rebellion. They wrote rebellion because that's what they believed that the Protestant movement was all about. The people were rebelling against the Catholic Church. King James came along and wrote fallen away. However, we have Tyndale and we have Wycliffe who stood to the word of God, and they wanted the word to be translated to the common language where even a young child could read the Bible and understand it. And they kept the word that was there originally, which was departure. Don't let nobody deceive you, for the day of the Lord will not come unless there's a departure first. So now when you look at departure, which means movement from one place to another, like I'll give you an example, like if you take a plane ride from Orlando, Florida to New York. You're departing from one area to the other. That is what it was written in the original language, departure. But the Catholic Church wrote out rebellion. The King James fallen away. Why did they change it to fallen away? It coincides with 2 Timothy. We talked about many people will leave the faith. So, and the Bible does talk about people leaving the faith, people are backsliding. And so they thought that when Paul wrote Thessalonians, let no man deceive you, for the day of the Lord won't come unless there be a fallen away first, which means people leaving the church. But that's not what it says. The original language, it says departure. And when you look up departure, it talks about rapture. It talks about going from one place to another. And so we have to be researching all these things so we understand what the Lord has instructed us in his word. And that's why in this mystery, which verse represents the middle of the Bible, the Lord is our guide. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that directs us. Just because man wrote a version and it's much easier, it doesn't mean that that's the word of God. Some people say, well, this version contains the word of God, but it's not the word of God. It contains some of it, but you have to be very careful of it. I love the King James. I carry that with me all the time. But when I get home and I study, one of the first Bibles that I open up is my Gideon Bible. I also have the Matthew 15:37 Bible. That's a little bit harder to understand because it's got a lot of, all the words are written in calligraphy format. And I'm not as astute in the calligraphy format. But the Gideon Bible is an English Bible. And some of the letters are represent, you have to understand what they meant then. It's like, so we have to understand that the Lord is the one that's guided us. Actually, the Gideon Bible is what the pilgrims brought over from Geneva, and Pocahontas and some of the Indians also were saved because the pilgrims that came over with the Gideon Bible preached the word as is. They didn't add to it and they didn't take away from it. There are some versions of the Bible out there that they take away certain words, meaning like there's a version out there that's missing 70,000 words. And also they're missing a section of the Bible that talks about evangelism. I urge people not to have that Bible. You know, just because it makes it easier to read, just because it has a common language, it doesn't make it the word of God. Glory be to the... But we trust in the Lord. In the Lord we trust, because he's the only one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the only one that came. He left his body in heaven. He came and took on a servant's body, and he served. And he did that which the Father told him to do. He spoke that which the Father spoke. He didn't do anything on his own. He was obedient even unto death of the cross. Glory be to the Lord. So when we trust in God and we know that the Lord is guiding us and leading us, we are confident. We are confident. Just like when you read Philippians chapter 1, it talks about we are confident that God will fulfill that which he started in you. We are confident that these words of the Lord are faithful and true. We are confident because we know, according to what's going on in the world now, that the soon return of Jesus Christ for his church is soon about us. We have an imminent expectation that Jesus is coming. How do we know? Well, he didn't give us no sign as to the rapture, but one thing that we do remember that in 1947 and 1948, Israel became a state again. After 2,000 years of not having a homeland, you know, the question in the Bible is, could a nation be born in one day? And sure enough, Israel was born in one day. And then in the Six-Day War, they beat the enemies again, and they were able to have Jerusalem as their capital. And in 2017, the Lord moved upon President Trump, and he moved the embassy from city and from Tyre to Jerusalem, and said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And we just praise God. We see all these prophecies coming to pass in our lifetime. Even right now, they have 5 red heifers in Jerusalem. And you need a red heifer, unspotted red heifer, in order to dedicate the temple. And so they have the garments of the priests. They have the instruments. They have the menorah. And they have the other table shewbread, the Ark of Incense. They have that. All they're waiting for is the false Messiah, or the Messiah to come to build the temple. And he would do it through peaceful means. Why he would do it through peaceful means? Because when the church is raptured up, when the church leaves this earth, there's going to be chaos in this earth. There's going to be millions of Christians living this earth. In a twinkling of an eye, Christ would take us out. And right now, some people are promulgating a big lie, a big deception. The devil is using them to deceive people. And that is that they're saying that, oh my goodness, that the aliens are here. Those are not aliens from outer space. Those are demonic entities coming from the spiritual world to the physical world and being manifested that way. You could see on the TV where they're chasing a spaceship that looks like a Tic Tac. Where did it come from? It didn't indicate anything on NORAD that a spaceship came from the space. So it manifested himself here. It could be that there's a center line, a center city down in Australia. We don't know, but these things are happening. And then what was the big lie is going to happen is that when remember, the Pope said if they come, that he's willing to baptize them. And if they come, that they're going to be your big brothers, that they're going to say, we brought mankind to this earth, and we're coming to make them better. That's a big lie, because when we disappear, when the Lord called us to the air to be with him, you know, and a lot of people, millions of people will disappear. What's promulgated now as aliens, they're going to say, well, the aliens took them out, because they were not worthy to be part of the upgrade. There's an upgrade happening now. If you read what Jesus said, he says, like the time of Lot, like the time of Noah. And we know when you study deeply into those eras, you're going to realize that you're talking about there was genetic intervention at that time. From the demonic people, they wanted to deceive mankind, and they did a lot of hybrid stuff. And so it's happening now, even now. You know, they're growing, they're putting pigs' hearts into man. They're growing ears in mice, you know. So we are confident that what the Lord said, it will happen the way he said it. Because No, there's no other person, there's no other God in this earth told us the truth like our Father. He has been truthful, faithful unto us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Bible mystery for today is, which verse represents the middle of the Bible? The middle of the Bible. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you might see on your program there, 1-8-1-1-8-8 divided by 2 equals 594. Well, that could be how many chapters in the Bible or how many verses in the Bible. You know? And that will lead you to the middle of the Bible. And you will look it up the scriptures and come away with what the scripture tells us first is to represents the middle of the Bible. We have it. And we're asking you to call 516-418-5944, Block Talk Radio. Call us, press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. So we encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Block Talk Radio. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. from The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle, your host here on Block Talk Radio. Glory be, glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. We know that we started the program with a beautiful song from Nicole Mullins, and that was My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. It is undisputed. There is about 2,400 or more different type of religions out there, but there is only one empty tomb. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory because we know that you are faithful, that you have given us your love. You have given us your salvation. You have given us your justification. You have given us your sanctification. And one day, Lord, you have given us your glorification. We're going to be just like Jesus, and we're going to see him who he is, because we're going to be just like him. We're going to recognize him. Glory be to the Lord. Right now, you know, they're looking at the swag of Turin, you know, but, and the way that they put it is they put it like folded in half from back to the front. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was wrapped in linen clothes. He wasn't folded in half. He was wrapped in linen clothes. And some versions, some gospels say that the cloth was on his face. Some scholars believe that the cloth was left was folded and left alone. But the Bible tells me that it was over his face. Why would Jesus fold the napkin? I don't want to get into that because that's another mystery. But Jesus took time out from his resurrection to fold the napkin, and that gave us a word. Glory be to the Lord. So on that day that he resurrected, there was a great earthquake. The angel came down. The stone was rolled away as the ladies came to the sepulcher to anoint his body. They found not the body of the Lord. And Mary spoke with the two angels inside the sepulcher. And the question was, why you search for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. And I could share with you, my brothers and sisters and my wife and I, we went to the sepulcher in 2016. And it's sepulcher where they claim that that's where but Jesus was buried, and on the door it says, he's not here, he is risen. Glory be to the Lord. So then they step out, then Mary steps out, and sees a man dressed in white there, and the back, she thinks it's a gardener, and she asks him where did they lay the master's body, and he turns around and calls her by her name, Mary, and she answers with Rabboni, and she was going to grab him, but he said, touch me not. I have not ascended to my Father, but tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. Glory be to the Lord. And sure enough, you know, she had ran to Peter, to the disciples, and tell them, you know, she had seen the Messiah. And John and Peter ran to the sepulcher, and John beat Peter. And but Peter was the first one to go in, and they saw the empty sepulcher, and they're walking back. And we have it as the role of Emmaus. If you study the scriptures carefully, it talks about Peter being one of the disciples. So the other disciple had to be John. And they didn't recognize Jesus until they sat down in Peter's house and he broke bread. Then they recognized it was the Messiah. And they went back and told the other disciples that they had seen the Messiah. And they closed the door and Jesus came through the door. Glory be to the Lord. He showed them his size. He showed them the handprints. He showed them the wounds that he gathered, right? And then he went to present his blood in the Holy of Holies. And then he came back 8 days later. Thomas was with them at that time, and he came through the door. And he called Thomas. He said, Thomas, put your hands on my side. Touch my hands. See that this is me. A spirit doesn't have a body like them. And he ate with them. And Thomas kneeled down and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that have seen, have believed and not seen. That's us, brothers and sisters. We don't know Christ after the flesh, but we know him after the spirit. So we want to thank the Lord this time. Give God all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah. Nobody called in with the mystery, which verse represents the middle of the Bible. Nobody called in. I'm not going to give the answer. That's going to be held on to the next time that comes around. So don't forget that on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have intercessory prayer. On Thursday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible study. And we'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. for another Bible mystery. Glory be to the Lord. And next week's mystery is going to be who was chosen to replace Judas. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to do your Bible study so you understand, you know, who replaced Judas. Now remember, Judas hung himself and then his body fell off the tree and he went into the valley of the blood, and all his middles, insides gushed out. Glory be to the Lord. So at this time, we're going to close out on the program, and we want to say thank you. We want to praise God for all his doings. We want to thank God for all the people on Blog Talk Radio for their assistance. I just want to let you know, if you're hearing me here on Blog Talk Radio, Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, the stream clock where it says on air is running faster than the time on the air. And right now it's not showing any time. So I'm not sure how much time we have left, but I know it's only a couple minutes. So we're going to log off knowing that you're going to fix the situation until the next time. So we'll be back on Tuesday morning, 3 a.m., for another intercessory prayer here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.